Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, James Simpson joins us first about the red-green axis, what Islamists and Marxists have in common as they try to destroy the West. As sleeper cells start to get activated and we start to see more and more chatter and activity in the West, we need to know what we are up against. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That is Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today, or join us on our tour this week in San Antonio and also Springfield, Missouri. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have for the full hour a very important topic, and there's a couple books I want to plug. First is The Red-Green Axis 2.0, An Existential Threat to America and the World by James Simpson, and also Who Was Karl Marx, also by James Simpson. James, thank you so much for joining the program. The one I want to zero in on first is The Red-Green Axis. You wrote a whole book on this, which is about Islam and Marxism working together against the West. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, well, that book primarily focuses on immigration and refugee resettlement, but the whole point of it is that really since World War II ended, the communists have worked with the radical Islamists in a combined effort to take down our country. And you know, with all partnerships, there's always a senior partner and a junior partner. And the junior partner is and has always been the Islamists. It has always been the green part of the red-green axis, because communists don't take on senior partners. They are always the senior partner. And since World War II, the KGB has supplied arms, intelligence, guidance, and training to all the Islamic terrorist organizations around the world. And that's, and they created many of them. The KGB created the Palestine Liberation Organization and all of the subsidiary organizations that come with it, like, for example, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. These are not Muslim organizations, although they are primarily staffed and armed by Muslims, but they are communist Muslims. Yasser Arafat himself was an unapologetic communist, and he said it out loud many times, and I've quoted him in some of my articles. And the same thing is true with Hamas. Even though Hamas goes along the lines of a radical Islamic organization, they are all subsidiary and take their guidance from the KGB, from the Russians. And that is as true today as it has always been. In my book, Who Was Karl Marx, I have a chapter, and it's titled All Roads Still Lead to Moscow. And Moscow has played a very clever game by Soviets pretending that communism fell back in 1991 and they're no longer a threat. But the fact of the matter is they have more arms than we do in almost every measure. And they work very secretly and they hold all their cards close to the vest. So we really don't have an idea generally what they're up to. And the radical Islamic terrorists have acted as a cutout, if you will, a false flag operation that allows the communists to continue their war against the West while providing plausible deniability that they really have nothing to do with it. But, you know, Alexander Litvinenko, who was the KGB agent who was poisoned by polonium-210, if you recall, back around 2006 or thereabouts, he wrote in his book, Allegations, that, for example, Iwan al-Zawahiri was actually a KGB asset. And that's the truth with many of the top leaders of these Islamic radical organizations. It's also true of the Iranians. Many of them went to school at Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow to learn how Moscow did it. And they all follow their lead.
So let's talk about this domestically for a second. One of the things that confuses our audience is on campuses or in the streets, you'll see Democrat socialist groups, LGBT groups, and Islamist groups marching in harmony together, when in reality they have some things in common, but they have contradictory values in other ways. Explain that to us.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing, because everybody looks at this and tries to analyze it as if it should make sense. But, you know, nothing that the leftists do make any sense. You know, look at their entire agenda. You know, if you look at anything they're doing, it's from a logical standpoint, it's insane. But that doesn't concern them in the least. They're not interested in doing what would make sense to the average person. What they're doing is pushing an agenda of hate. It's an agenda of hate. And it's not rational. You know, when the George Floyd riots were going on, we had Black Lives Matter and Antifa screaming fascist in everybody's face, when really looked at it soberly, they were the fascists. They were the ones who were acting like fascists and Nazis and monsters. And we were just trying to stop them. So if you look at it from a common sense point of view, it doesn't make any sense, but it's not supposed to. It's supposed to basically drive us crazy. And that's what it's doing.
Yeah. And to inflict chaos and harm. Yeah, and so,
exactly.
And you know, when I go to these campuses, sometimes, you know, you'll have the pro-gay group next to a woman in a hijab, and their values couldn't be obviously more apart, but they're driven by a unification of a belief in the great Satan, right? So go back. So Marx, you know, 1800s, writes the manifesto, Das Kapital. When did Marxism and radical Islam start to become a coalition? And who, I mean, you mentioned the KGB and the international communists. Walk us through that more.
Okay. Well, actually, it began as soon as the communists took over the Soviet Union. You know, Vladimir Lenin sought to cultivate Marxists, or rather Muslims of Muslim origin, to communists of Muslim origin. And so, for example, they knew they have a very huge pool of Muslims throughout, you know, what was then the Soviet Union. And rather than try to fight them, they co-opted them and many of the leaders became communists. And, you know, the average everyday Islamic terrorist has no idea this is what's going on. He's, you know, he's fighting to see the rise of the 12th Imam, or he's rising to see the growth of the caliphate, or whatever foolish nonsense he thinks. But in fact, the people who lead those organizations work with the communists, and they work as a junior partner. You know, for example, the Muslim Brotherhood's front group in America is the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And Nihad Awad is the chairman of that organization, correct?
Yes.
He came here as a student leader of Students for Palestine. That was a communist organization. And then in 1993, he magically transformed into a radical Muslim. Well, here's something that people don't get about communists. It's like joining the mob. You don't get to quit.
Yep.
You get different assignments, but you don't get to quit. So Nihad Awad initiated CARE as a communist, and he remains a communist to this day, or at least remains wedded to the communist goal of overthrowing and destroying our country.
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. Don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So let's actually go to what is in common. What do Marxists and Islamists have in common? We know what they don't have in common, which is, you know, some of their social views. But what parts of their worldview are actually in harmony?
Well, you know, it's really funny. Hassan al-Banna, who started the Muslim Brotherhood, he was actually a socialist. And so was Sayyid Qutb, who was one of their leading intellectuals. He was executed by the Egyptians for some of his radical activities. I forget when that was, but they're both socialists. And so in terms of that kind of governmental construct, they're not different. And, you know, when you boil it down, and this is something I make clear in my book on Marx, people really don't understand what communism is. You know, people have this dictionary definition of communism where, you know, the state owns all the resources and distributes them evenly so everybody gets a share, which is, of course, total nonsense. What it really is, what communism really is, it's a body of strategies for seizing and holding power and all the wealth that goes with it. And when it comes to the guys in the Islamic movement, their goal is essentially the same thing. They like to be kings. In fact, they like to be gods. And that's really what it's about. This is the same temptation since the Garden of Eden, where Satan promise that ye shall be as gods. Mm-hmm. And that's what they are doing. That's what they are really all about. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but a former CIA director called them thugs with a cover story, you know, and that's basically what they are. People who are willing to be utterly ruthless, monstrous, mass murdering, doing anything they have to seize and hold power. And communism gives them the perfect blueprint to do that. And in fact, in my Marx book, I talk about somebody who very few people have ever heard of. His name was Sergei Nechayev. And in 1869, he wrote something called The Revolutionary Catechism. And it lays out in this three-page pamphlet the entire blueprint for what became communist revolution throughout the world, including an order of execution for those classes of people in society that had to die and when they had to die. It's really quite a stunning document. And Marx himself, I make the point in the book on Karl Marx, he was not an atheist. You know, everybody thinks of communists as atheists. Well, Marx wasn't. Marx believed in God, but Marx wanted to be equal to God. And if you'll permit me, I will read a short poem that he wrote that describes that. He said in this poem, "With disdain, I will throw my gauntlet full in the face of the world and see the collapse of this pygmy giant whose fall will not stifle my ardor. Then I will wander godlike and victorious through the ruins of the world, and giving my words an active force, I will feel equal to the creator."
Wow.
That is Karl Marx. Or at least that's Karl Marx of his own fantasies. Karl Marx of reality was quite a different individual.
I want to talk more about that after the break, because there's, and we'll dive more into the Marx side. There is some serious questions around who funded Karl Marx, Just Man Society, how he kind of came to power. And, you know, there's some suspicion or question of, you know, was Karl Marx involved in the occult, involved in, you know, dark witchcraft practices? Because I believe we are in the midst of a spiritual war now that Islam and Marxism are marrying together, open borders, indoctrination, Students for Justice of Palestine, Students for a Democrat Society, Democrat Socialists of America. They're all part of an intersectional coalition to destroy Western-based government rooted in Christianity through any attack vector possible: private property, due process, the checks and balances, separation of powers, all these things that we enjoy, the fruits of Christianity that built the West. Islam and Marxism are together as a toxin to destroy the civilization that we love. Look, I want to tell you about Donors Trust. We're sponsored today by them, the principal tax-friendly way to simplify your charitable giving. Fidelity Charitable recently released its latest giving report. According to its report, its account holders recommended in 2022$11 billion to nonprofits. In the mix, Planned Parenthood Foundation of America. In fact, according to the report, Planned Parenthood was the sixth most popular nonprofit among Fidelity Charitable account holders. Last year, six out of nearly 200,000 unique charities. Does that upset you? Well, it upsets me too. The good news is that if you have Fidelity Charitable Giving Account, it's not too late to roll over your charitable dollars to a giving account provider that shares your values. Roll over your giving to Donors Trust so you can actually help expectant mothers and families in crisis. I love Donors Trust. Donors Trust givers have recommended grants to dozens of pro-life organizations and crisis pregnancy centers, including Priests for Life, Students for Life, Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund, Americans United for Life, CareNet, and others. Visit DonorsTrust.org/Charlie to learn more about Donors Trust. We work with them very closely. I really like them. If you are giving money away from now to the end of the year, you guys should look at Donors Trust as a way to set up a donor-advised fund. That is DonorsTrust.com/Charlie to discover how you can partner with a giving account provider that shares your values. That's DonorsTrust.org/Charlie. So, James, talk about the truth. Karl Marx, was he involved in the occult? Was he involved in witchcraft? That is something that is pressed forward sometimes. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, Richard Wurmbrand, a Catholic priest who was tortured. He was an Eastern European who tortured for 19 years, and he came out of it, and he wrote a number of books, but one of his most important ones was called Marx and Satan. And in that book, he asserts that when Marx went off to college, because, you know, here's the interesting thing. You know, Marx is ethnically Jewish, right? But his father, because he couldn't practice law as a Jew in Lutheran Germany at the time, he converted right about the time of Marx's birth to Lutheranism. And Marx was raised as a Christian. And actually, in high school, he wrote beautiful Christian poetry. I cite some of it in the book. It's quite remarkable. But when he went off to college, you know, we hear this story all the time, he fell in with a bad crowd. Wurmbrand asserts that it was a crowd that practiced Satanism. It was a satanic crowd. And Wurmbrand also claims that Soviet archives, well, many of Marx's writings have been hidden. They won't allow them out. And there's many in the Soviet archives that we can't look at. And he talks about them having satanic rituals. And so there's a lot of claims in that book where he talks about exactly that. And then Paul Kangor also wrote a book, a follow-on book, where he delved into that subject also. And I think it's very credible. I mean, you know, think of what was it a couple of years ago, the woman chanting up with Satan in the Texas House when they were passing, you know, pro-life bills, you know, all kinds of things like that. And then you also hear about, or we don't hear about it very much, but it's much more prevalent than is being reported. We all know about the trafficking of children, although I think we're only getting a small part of the story. It's much larger than that. It's frightening, and it's frightening what they're doing to the illegal alien children who are coming up from Central America. This is wholesale sex trade trafficking of children. It's gruesome. And some of those children, or some of our children, are being used in satanic rituals where they are actually murdered. And it all, as far as I'm concerned, it all goes together. I don't have specific proof that the communists engage in Satanism, but their entire movement is satanic.
Yes, it is.
And it's absolutely satanic. There's no other way to put it. What they did in Gaza, in Israel,
yes,
absolutely satanic. But you know, it's funny, people think, oh, well, the Muslims are so barbaric because they practice this. Well, no, actually, communists have been doing that kind of torture since they took power. You know, there's tons of examples of that in Vietnam. I think of one in particular where a leader of a town went to one of the Navy SEALs working there crying because he was not going to work with the Viet Cong. And so the next morning, he found his son in a jar on his front porch. I mean, that's the kind of thing these people do. There's nothing they won't do. I call them the evolutionary endpoint to human depravity. That's what communists are.
Wow. I believe that it's an outgrowth of, as you say, Luciferianism. And there's a quote of Marx, and it's either relentless or ruthless, but the ruthless criticism of all that exists, or relentless criticism of all that exists. I could look it up in a second, but it is ruthless. Yeah, but that's satanic, right? What exists, I must question. If there is a Western order, we must destabilize. Elaborate on that. And also, the book that you are riffing on right now, I want to make sure people know the title of your Karl Marx book. Who was Karl Marx? The men, the motives, and the menace behind today's rampaging American left. Tell us about criticizing that which exists.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marx said that before he even wrote with his co-author, Friedrich Engels, before he wrote the Communist Manifesto, he said, we must engage in a ruthless criticism of everything existing. Now, of course, everything existing in his mind was everything in the West, because the West was basically running the show at the time, and he absolutely hated it. He wanted to see it destroyed, and he makes that very clear in the Communist Manifesto, and so do all of his followers in subsequent writings and books, the Sergei Nechayev's Revolutionary Catechism, all of them. But the interesting thing is, a school created in the 20s in Frankfurt, Germany, called the School for Social Research, had to flee Germany. All of the professors there were communists. They were all, most of them were Jewish. So when Hitler took power, they had to flee, and many of them were relocated to Columbia's Teachers College via the good offices of John Dewey, and who was working at the International Institute for Education was Edward R. Murrow, who subsequently became, you know, news anchor at CBS. And he was working with a Soviet agent. We didn't know that at the time. But anyway, when the Frankfurt School relocated in Columbia Teachers College, they developed something called critical theory. And guess what critical theory does? It engages in a ruthless criticism of everything existing in the West. So they try to tear down the family. They try to tear down the free market, capitalism, everything about our society, Christianity. They want to destroy it to its roots. And that is critical theory, which came directly out of the mind of Marx when he said, we must engage in a ruthless criticism of everything existing. And now we have critical race theory, which was just another downstream evolution of critical theory. And there's critical pedagogy, there's critical legal theory, there's dozens of critical theories that take ever small components of U.S. society and tear it apart. And that's the goal, to just tear everything apart, ruthless criticism and tearing everything apart.
Yeah. And so some people that are uninitiated to Marx and to this ideology say, but then what do they want to replace it with? That's somebody who is obviously not read their literature or the depravity or the darkness. Right. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond by saying there's the theory and then there's the reality. You know, Marxian theory foresees this utopia where the government just withers away to nothing and everybody is free to do whatever they want, which is, you know, absolutely crazy. It has no example in the real world. But the reality is and has always been, and Marx was the pinnacle of the personality that reflects this reality. They were out for themselves. They were greedy, selfish, arrogant beyond anything that we can even conceive of, corrupt people with absolutely zero ethics. And so, you know, Marx, for example, you asked about how they funded Marxism. Well, you know, Marx, his father was a very wealthy attorney, and his father showered money on him when he was in college. But after his father died, he ran through that money and he spent the rest of his life living off cash that Friedrich Engels stole from his father's company and gave to him, and hovering over ailing relatives, waiting for them to die so he could see what he would get in inheritance. And it's stunning because he writes letters to Engels about how excited he is about, you know, Uncle so-and-so who just croaked, and what's he going to get out of it, you know? And really, he was a selfish, greedy slob. He never bathed. His mother said, instead of changing the world, Carl ought to just try changing his underwear.
They haven't changed. The Marxists haven't changed.
They haven't changed. These are the guys that live in their mother's basement and watch porn all day.
Isn't that funny how the author of their ideology is just as lazy and morally repulsive as the followers are today. The book is the name of the book again. I'm sorry, I want to make sure I'm precise here.
Who was Karl Marx? The men, the motives, and the menace behind today's rampaging American left. And that really gives you the whole story of how we got here, where it started, and what it's really about. It's so important to understand that.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-235-887 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. So studying these people, studying them for, you know, their insidious Luciferian ideology. By the way, this is a big time book. Got to check it out. It's deep. We got to have you back on. I'm going to ask you a complicated question, but how do we beat them? You know them very well. How do we beat the Marxists?
Well, we have to do a lot of things that I don't know that our government is willing to do. Perhaps if we elect President Trump again, like we did in 2020, perhaps we will be able to get people into government that can begin to identify and remove the many communists working throughout our government, many in Congress. We need to bring back the House Un-American Activities Committee. We need to really expose these people. But I think the most important thing is to strengthen laws on subversion. And the trouble is that cuts both ways, because if the wrong party's in power, they could call us, as they are now, a bunch of insurrectionists, subversives. But the fact is, they are all the true insurrectionists, the true subversives. That people need to go to jail for the stuff that they are doing today, and none of them are. And that's where we really have a problem, because our judicial system has become corrupted, our political system has become corrupted, our bureaucracy has become corrupted. So it's a tall order to fix any of those things. That's what we need to do. We definitely need to fix our education system. My chapter on Restoring America is the longest chapter in the book, and I have 17 pages of recommendations of how to do that. But it's something Ron DeSantis has done a great job in Florida, starting to turn things around. But then he's out of office. And then who do we get next? Will they continue it? Other states need to reform voting laws. We really have to get our voting laws straightened out nationwide, because the Democrats cheat, and they're willing to cheat because they have no ethics. They're absolutely willing to do this, part of their ideology. Ethics is not part of their ideology. And then finally, and I think this is the most important thing, because I think the reason we are where we are today is because as a nation, we have essentially abandoned God. Yeah. We have forgotten God.
That's what Solzhenitsyn said, right? All of this happened because, we forgot God. And Marxists hate the idea of a transcendent order, an eternal standard. They hate that. They do not want something above them. Like you said, though, Marx was not an atheist. He just wanted himself to be God. These people are Luciferian in nature, whether they recognize it or realize it or not. Some of them do, which is why all the witches and the pagans tend to be communists. James, excellent. We'll have you back on. Check it out. Red Green Axis is why I booked you. But the Marx stuff is amazing, because that's really what we're doing here. Who was Karl Marx? Learn about it. I think I got about 60% of those rascals correct. Thanks so much, James. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Great work. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.